What is going on, everybody? You are listening to Freelancer's Guide, a weekly limited run podcast brought to you by OKBeast.com that's dedicated to covering BioWare's upcoming game, Anthem. While you're here, we'll of course share our experiences about the game, curate the best tips and tricks, and help you to stay up to date with the game's latest news. I'm your cipher this week, Alex Van Aken, and I'm also joined by the man who is married to my mother, my stepfather, Brandon Wilson. Hello.
What is happening there, Alex?
Nothing much. It's been a minute since we've podcasted one-on-one. Super excited to be podcasting with you again, kind of like we did back in the Pixel Pulse radio days.
Back in the days.
Super stoked about Anthem. Brandon, let's skip all the official hubbub, all our usual announcements on our housekeeping. We'll get to those in a little bit. Let's talk about Anthem, because that's what people are here for. How are you feeling about the game? What is your experience of the game thus far? I know you played in previous alphas, and I know you can't really talk about those experiences, but where are you at today, and where are you, your excitement level about the game, all that?
I'm incredibly excited about the game just in general. Like, looking forward to, it's kind of like that MMO experience, although it's not, you know, it's not like a traditional MMO, but it's kind of like that MMO experience that you're looking forward to getting together with a good group of people and going and tackling some strongholds and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it almost kind of feels like when we used to play WoW and looking forward to going into different instances and so forth. And I don't know. It's, you know, it's that sort of anticipation that I've got
built up.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. So I jumped into it for the first time during the public demo, knowing that we were kind of getting this show up and ready to go. And I was like, well, I need to be able to talk about the game. So I jumped into it. I didn't know. I mean, I knew a lot about the game from, you know, trailers, E3, all that. We've had press friends who have like talked about the game before. But this is the first time that the VIP demo was the first time I'd gotten to play it, got my hands on it. And so I jumped in and was really surprised, because I was expecting the format like BioWare, you know, they are known for their storytelling, but this didn't seem like the format. I didn't think the format was going to kind of be conducive to that. And I was surprised by what granted we were playing middle of the story. We don't really have much context for what's going on in the main story of the game, but from what I played of the demos, I really kind of got a intrigue and a sense of discovery as like, man, this is a huge world. And like, there's tons of lore here, and the actual voice acting on display was great. Was really incredible, I thought. So I'm kind of stoked. I wasn't looking for a story, but now I'm kind of expecting it, and I'm interested to see how it comes out, you know, in the final product and what that looks like, because I was really blown away. I don't know if you didn't get to play the demos, but there's an arc in there with some really interesting characters that I think will become like fan favorites, maybe based on I think they were in this demo for a reason. And they were witty, they were, you know, smart and emotional, and it was a really cool thing to see, and it has me kind of on a whole new level of excitement for the game. How do you feel about the customization so far, Brandon?
Well, I mean, anybody that's followed any of our other shows, they know that I like customization is one of my big things when it comes to any sort of game.
Yeah.
I have been really impressed by the level of customization for the javelins. You know, I saw it in the show notes. We're talking about different things as far as javelin customization, but, you know, choosing colors and different type of materials, and whether it's worn or it looks like it's been through battle.
Yeah,
that's
cleanliness of that material.
That's like right down my alley. That's pretty amazing. And then I've also seen like in various like dev diaries and so forth that they've been releasing, I've also seen like people create javelins that look like they could have come from another game. Like, I've seen javelins that were styled to look like they came out of Mass Effect.
That's really cool.
Which I thought was absolutely awesome. I've seen some really sick designs, and I'm really looking forward to that. I'll probably spend hours on that piece of it alone.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
I'm kind of right there with you. The first night I played, I spent probably an hour making my only my ranger, And then I realized, I was like, oh, I have to design four other javelin suits. And so I kind of had like this little lore in my head, you know, like my Colossus was like a construction. Like I was reading lore about the suits, and also like having that inform my designs. It was, and like the amount of, we've talked a little bit about like the colors, but there's a whole color wheel that you can really, you can put in like almost like a hex code essentially for your colors. Like you can get like into the nitty gritty and really dial in the colors. So I'm stoked for that part of the game. I can't wait. There was only, I think each set of armor for the javelins in the demos, they only, cause you could unlock new pieces for it and kind of see what that looked like. You could only unlock one other thing for, like, you could only unlock one other helmet, one other leg piece and chest piece, so on and so forth. So I'm excited to see what those other designs look like, because I'm sure that there are dozens and dozens of different designs to unlock and different pieces. So that has me super excited. I think that has a lot of people ecstatic about that. But what did you think about like the flying mechanics and diving to cool off and all of that stuff? Like I was most impressed with that, because we heard about there being like an invisible ceiling, you know, in the game, and you not being able to like fly, you know, there's going to be an invisible ceiling, but it seemed like kind of low to what I was expecting it to be. So when I jumped in, I was like, oh no, am I going to feel like kind of, you know, like this is a gimmick and I can't really fly? But there is so much verticality to the map design that it wasn't an issue at all. And I was actually like, I loved the flying mechanics. It reminded me of some of my favorite like mech games, you know, and like the fact that you can dodge in the middle of the air and like dive down towards water to cool off. I was blown away by that part.
Yeah. You mentioned world design too. I love the fact that they've thought through like multiple mechanics based on the world design. Like mm-hmm. the world is incredibly lush and looks really beautiful. And there's waterfalls that are throughout the world. And that those waterfalls play directly into the flying mechanic. So you're going to use those waterfalls to cool off your jets and be able to fly further.
Yeah, because there's an overheat mechanic.
Yeah.
In case people didn't know.
Yeah, between the waterfalls and different bodies of water throughout the map, that just extends that flying capability. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. What did you think about Fort Tarsus? The main hub, like the main storytelling city, where, because like out in the wild, you're playing a third person shooter, third person RPG shooter, whatever. And in the town, it's first person, and that's where you do all your storytelling. So what did you feel about the town itself?
Well, the town feels like it's been there for a long time. It feels very lived in, feels gritty. You know, it reminds me of like these, very much reminds me of like these, you know, Middle Eastern marketplaces and so forth, with the, you know, like the overhanging tents and so forth.
Yeah, kind of like a bazaar.
Yeah. And to me, it also had like the feeling of Zion from The Matrix, you know, the big city in The Matrix.
Oh, wow.
It just just had kind of like an industrial but ancient city kind of feel to it. I think they did a really good job of you know, balancing those two things.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah, I really liked it.
I thought that, like, one thing that I want to see improved is the mission structure. I felt like the pacing was really good, but I felt like we were doing the same things over and over. You know, move from zone A to zone B to zone right. C every time, just clearing enemies, which is, I mean, that's kind of what you do in a first person. That's what you do in like a Destiny like or a really any shooter game. It's the point is to, you know, take enemies out. I was hoping for more puzzles. I know there is a puzzle that you have to do, a light puzzle in one of the quests during the demo. And I want to see more of that implemented. So I'm hoping that as you get deeper in the game and as you get into these bigger strongholds, that one, the enemies become tougher and more challenging and require more creativity to beat, and then two, that there is some mission variety. Did you feel that, or were you kind of just did that come up in your play sessions at all, or no?
I mean, most of my play sessions were fairly short in the in the alpha. I, in particular, and I wrote it in my notes, I really liked the pacing. So like there was a in missions in particular, like there was a wide range of like going into really hectic firefights and then giving like the appropriate breather. Like I don't like it when games throw that hectic feeling at you for like super long periods of time. Like you really need a breather just from that hectic feeling and from the anxiety that kind of comes along with it. You just need to be able to kind of gather yourself and before you go on to the next firefight. But it really felt like they did that well. That was the main thing that I noticed as far as the missions go. But I hadn't really paid close attention to the variety of missions in the alpha in particular.
Sure. And I think like what's on display in the demo is very much meant to, you know, be streamlined and kind of get players in and get them experiencing the gameplay.
Yeah.
And not necessarily, you know, being like a full raid level, you know, I don't know. I think hopefully we will see more complexity in future content and in in-game content, I hope. But I do have a worry that we're just going to be shooting bullet sponges, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But I'm excited nonetheless. I'm stoked for Anthem. I think BioWare. I think expectations for the game are a bit tepid right now. I think the private demo came out and had horrible connectivity issues and was full of like a myriad of bugs and glitches and crashes. And I think that really kind of marred the presentation of the game in terms of like public reception. And I think that's justified. But then I played the public demo and I noticed people in our Discord were kind of quick to, and just in general online, but we talked to a lot of people on our Discord, and so there's people that are kind of still hyped for it and really kind of saw through the technical bugs, and other people that kind of lost faith a little bit, especially considering the state of Mass Effect Andromeda a couple years ago. So I am interested to see if people are going to get into this game, because I thought the public demo played great. I could count the issues I had on like one hand compared to the countless issues I had the first weekend. And so I'm hoping we were playing an old build. They kind of tweeted out before the game came out saying like to expect bugs and expect a lack of polish in some areas because we were playing an older build and, you know, all of that stuff.
That's what I thought was kind of weird. I do feel, and like our friend Chris Nelson mentioned this too. Actually, I'm sorry, it was Chris Noons. Mm. That they were very deliberate in the fact that they called it a demo. And I just in what I've read of everybody that played it, I did not play the demo, and I did so for a reason. But and I mentioned that in episode zero. But I feel like, I'm not sure why they chose the word demo, because I feel like it was much more of a beta. Demo to me is like, I've finished this product and I want you to get a taste of it. So you kind of like build up that anticipation. I don't know. I think it was a bad choice to call it a demo. I think they should have just called it a beta like it really was.
Yeah.
And that would have given them the opportunity to say, hey, yeah, we're still working on that. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it before it comes out. But I don't know. It was just very interesting choice.
Yeah, I agree. It was kind of mixed messaging. And I totally agree on all fronts with you. Like, messaging is so important, and calling it a demo, not a good idea. I would have waited till, you know, I get why they called it a demo. We were about a month out, you know, but in that state, I would have called it a beta, especially because they knew they sent out, I think the creative director or somebody, I can't remember who said it. It was about a month ago. They were like, hey, the demo's coming up. It's going to be rough. Like knowing, like they obviously knew the state of the game, you know, they worked on it. So I really don't understand why they called it a demo, but you know, that's hindsight of 2020, but I'm curious to see next week how the game reviews, how the general public perceive Anthem. I think it might be a divisive game. I think a lot of people will come around on it, though, if it's anything like the experience I had in the public demo. So, because I had a blast. But Brandon, before we get into the news, let's get into some housekeeping, some announcements. We, of course, I'm Alex Van Aken. If you missed it at the top of the show, Brandon is, of course, my stepfather, Brandon Wilson. We both do work. We do podcasts, videos, you know, features over at okbeast.com. Every Monday we are on a show called OK Beast the Podcast. So if you're looking for a general gaming chat show, we go over, you know, business trends, industry trends, also, you know, latest news and what we've been playing. So go check out the OK Beast Podcast. It's on all major podcast platforms, including Spotify, iTunes, and the like. And then we just launched last week an Apex Legends podcast called Jumpmaster. We were on the top three on iTunes, which was awesome. We were in the new and noteworthy category. So if you were listening to that show and you're listening to this, thanks for the help. Thanks for reviewing and rating us. And actually, if you want to help out this show, that's what you can do. You can go review, rate us on iTunes. That really, really helps us out the first week and helps to get eyes on us. So if you're enjoying this and you want to do that, that'd be amazing. Thank you for that. And if you want to go the extra step, you can, of course, support us every month at patreon.com/OKBeast. If you are a OKBeast community member or whatever, maybe you've been listening to us for a while and you want to kind of throw us some money our way to help us with hosting, all that kind of thing. Again, patreon.com/OKBeast. There's a bunch of perks and bonus content over there. And shout out real quick to our podcast editor, John Bernardo. This is the first time we've kind of outsourced podcast editing to anybody. First time in 3 or 4 years, at least for me. And so just want to say a huge shout out to John Bernardo. He's actually my co-host over on the Apex Legends podcast. And he was kind enough to volunteer and say, hey, I will edit Freelancer's Guide for y'all. So shout out to John. Go give him a follow on Twitter at John S. Bernardo. Go talk to him about Anthem. Go like his baby photos of his child. He's a great guy. Thank you for editing the show, John. Super appreciate you.
Thank you, John.
Really appreciate it. If you want to talk to Brandon this week, you can find him at Rebel Red 6, and I am at It's Van Aken on social media. Brandon, let's not wait anymore. Let's get into the news. So we've got a lot of stuff. First up, I want to talk about, this is something I didn't think was an issue, but it was big enough to become a news story, so I wanted to talk about it. What do you think about the fact that Anthem isn't going to let players customize their pilot? Is this an issue? Because like this is coming from a
it's an issue for me.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, it kind of blows me away just a tad that like all of this time went into the Javelin customization.
Sure.
And I will be the first to admit that what they've built for the Javelin customization is very impressive to me. It just seems like an afterthought to like, okay, you can pick from these heads for your pilot. I realize that you don't see your pilot ultimately. So, I mean, I guess it's not a big deal, but it just seems like it would be fairly easy. It's something fairly easy to do that would give people, you know, that extra level of customization.
Yeah, I get that. For me, yeah, it's not as big of a deal for me just because it's a first person game whenever you are out of your suit. And so I'm like, well, I'm not going to see my character. So, you know, whatever, give me the randomly generated, hero, but I get it. Like people want to be represented. They want to feel connected to the character. So I understand it for that, for sure. And especially like BioWare is in the past, like their previous games, like Dragon Age, Mass Effect, customization is huge, right? Like that is a major part of those role-playing games and kind of really connecting to their universes and to the surrounding characters is having that avatar that you can kind of, project yourself onto. So I get that. I didn't know if this is different because it's a third person shooter, like during the gameplay, and I have yet to see my face at all in the game. So I didn't, that was kind of my initial reaction, but I do understand.
Like, I guess I'm particularly upset because I really wanted to make like a really large pilot and watch him try to like sandwich himself into an interceptor suit. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's not as big of an issue as I originally thought, but,
well, no, I'm not trying to downplay your issues, Brandon. I swear.
No. As what happens a lot in these podcasts, you know, we get time to think about the other side of things and our argument maybe makes less sense over time. So ultimately you don't see yourself very often. So I don't know, how much customization do you really need?
I guess it would be cool though to like pick your voice and stuff. Instead, because I think in the demos, like male, female, that was the only options. And it's like, okay, well, I guess I'll pick this one. You know, like I understand that for sure. And like, and I'm sure there's parts where you will see like, you know, your hands and that kind of thing. So I get why people would want to customize it. For me, I was like, oh, whatever, but I get it. I do get where you're coming from. Let's get into the next news story. This one was cool for me because I think it speaks a lot to the future of the game. This is from Windows Central. Your Anthem progress should carry over to next generation consoles. So this is, you know, this is kind of cool to me because I think it shows that, you know, BioWare is planning. So recently BioWare's head of live services, Chad Robertson, he was asked on Twitter, you know, if your saves are going to carry over to next gen consoles, and his reply was always. And so we don't know what the next gen consoles are going to look like. We don't know what kind of specs they're going to have, but it's clear that they are wanting to support this game past the PS4 and Xbox One, which is great because we are kind of at the end of this life cycle of consoles. We're hearing rumors about the PS5, you know, I think 2020, 2021, we'll be on new consoles by 2021, I think we'll be on new consoles. So I think it's important that they address this. And especially, I think it speaks to the fact that they want this game to have long legs and they have lots of plans. Like, am I reading too far into this, or is that kind of where what you kind of derive from?
Well,
this
see, I read way, way too far into it. And I'm like, well, if they have the ability of carrying over progress from console to console, then does that also mean, you know, like the hot button topic lately is, you know, crossplay. So if we have the ability to do that, could we also eventually have the ability to be able to play like PS4 players with Xbox players on the, you know, on the same squad or what have you. So I probably read like way too far into it, but I think this is a really cool idea. That to me means that they have a commitment to a little bit more longevity for this game. I mean, that's exciting to me. I hate to drop $60 on something and you know, a few months down the road, nobody really cares anymore.
No, I get that for sure. And speaking to crossplay, like I think the shared world shooter genre would very much benefit by that, you know, and I think we're moving that direction. Like we've talked about it on the OK Beast podcast a ton. Like how the industry, the signs are pointing towards crossplay coming with Epic Games distributing their crossplay network code. Like things are pointing that direction. I think we're just going to have to figure out the monetization of things, because I think it throws off, you know, in the past, you know, PlayStation, like somebody might buy the game twice, you know, in the past to play with friends. Now that money is being lost, you know, with one copy of the game, which is, it's great for the consumer. And I think that's the way we need to go. But I also could see maybe, you know, I don't know. At this point, I am just, you know, talking out of my butt. But I could see, you know, increased prices, like maybe $65 for a game or $70, you know, like for cross-play functionality. Like I'm curious what that looks like.
Let's not talk about raising prices.
Yeah, I'm just,
now.
You know, it does affect their business models, I think, in a sense. And and like I don't think everyone's out there buying two copies of the game, like. But I think there's a large majority of people who do, you know.
I've never done that, so.
Okay. Maybe the privileged half.
There are some that I've thought about doing it with, but I've just never brought myself to do it.
Well, there is a privileged side of the end of the consumer that I think do that for sure, and I think that does affect their revenue. So I'm curious what crossplay looks like because of that and how it might affect that. Maybe it doesn't affect it at all. Maybe there are built-in monetization strategies into these games, you know. I know that you can buy coins and stuff and all that, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, going back to the original news story, it's cool to see that our saves will carry over to next gen, because that's always like the fear, like, oh, am I investing all of this time into this game only to lose it all? Like once, you know, PS5 gets here, once Xbox whatever gets here. So what I'm saying is play on PC.
Did you just break the next Xbox console's name?
I think I did.
Xbox whatever.
Last news story of the day. This is talking about the updated roadmap of Anthem. So BioWare said that they obviously have plans for in-game content and continued content past launch. And they are calling these acts. So Act 1 is going to be launching in March 2019, and it's called Echoes of Reality. And so the game launches on the 22nd, and then a few weeks later, Act 1 starts. So it's going to bring us new events, quality of life improvements, new rewards, expanded progression system, new stronghold. It's also going to bring guilds and leaderboards, which is cool because I would love to have a guild in this game. Like, that seems awesome. And kind of crucial to having a full squad, you know, making sure you have a community to play with. The Act 1 is also going to bring us new missions and something called the Cataclysm, which is going to be these massive storms that pop up around the map. And they are open world events, I believe, that you have to play through. So that's end game. So there's three in March. In Act 1, there are three updates. So there's the Evolving World update. There's the Stronger Together update. And then the Cataclysm. So Evolving World, I am guessing that is the first phase where we get new events and new rewards and that sort of thing. And then Stronger Together, I am guessing that is when we get guilds, perhaps a new stronghold. And then the Cataclysm is where we get new missions and then the open world kind of cataclysmic in-game events. So that's kind of some of that is straight off their image, but some of that, like, that's kind of me editorializing and piecing things together where they might go. But what do you feel about this? Like, is March, do they need to get out here and say, yo, here are the plans for, I know there's three acts planned so far, but is this enough details to get you through, you know, launch, Brandon?
Yeah. I mean, you know, ultimately I know that initially we're all just going to want to get into the game and kind of get our feet wet, get acclimated, you mm-hmm. know, especially for those that didn't play Alpha or the demo.
Yeah.
We want to get a feel for the game and learn, you know, the nuances, the specific mechanics that are in the game that are different than others, you know, similar to this. And then we're going to start jumping into content updates. And I'm just happy to see a roadmap and that there's a plan moving forward.
Yeah.
We're seeing the roadmap before the launch even happens. So, you know, sometimes you get a game like this and you don't even see a roadmap until, you know, a month or 2 months into the launch. So I'm happy to see this roadmap and, you know somewhat what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
All of everything that they're kind of laying out sounds really sweet to me. So no issues here.
Awesome. Let us know if what you feel about this roadmap. You can of course tweet us at OKBeast. Now I'm curious what the community thinks about, you know, the updates and you know, I just want to hear your thoughts. So let us know. Brandon, let's get into the topic real quick of the day. We're going to talk about some helpful tips for day one Anthem. I think this is important because some of this info, I didn't figure out until the very end of my, you know, probably 10 hours with the game. And so, because it's not necessarily explained in the demo and that might be changed in the full game, but I want to talk about primers and detonators first. So you can do, if people are unaware, you can combo in this game. So there are actually three types of attacks in Anthem. There are primer attacks, detonator attacks, and standard attacks that do damage or, you know, give status buffs or effects. So these standard attacks don't really have anything to do with the combo system, but the primer and detonator attacks are what we need to pay attention to. The primer is, think of it like in a very video gamey way, the primer would be like a oil stain that the enemy walks on and they're covered in oil, and the detonator would of course be a flame and that causes it to combust and sets them on fire. That's kind of the general idea here with primers and detonators. And there are all sorts of different ones. So each class has different elements. They have, you know, they have impact, they have ice, they have fire, they have poison, like they have lightning. And so I'm going to link in the show notes, I'm going to link to an article from Eurogamer that has the handy kind of list, and it's like color coded and you can easily track everything. And so like if you're running Storm, like your detonator or your primer would be, one of your primers would be Ice Blast, and then you could detonate it with a burning orb. And so the idea here is that you are constantly comboing because you do more damage, and each actual character has different combo bonuses. So the Ranger does critical target damage, so they deal increased damage to the single target affected by your combo. This is all from Eurogamer. You can, of course, read this. The Colossus has an area of effect explosion, which deals damage to nearby enemies around the target. Storm has an AoE spread where the effect passes on from enemy to enemy. And then the Interceptor has an aura around them that passes the effect on. And so it is really crucial to be doing your primers and your detonators. And you actually do this you can do this on your own. Like if you have your loadout built out for a solo run, you can have a primer on one of your abilities and a detonator on the other, or your whole team can kind of shift their composition to favor combos. Did you get any experience with this, Brandon? Like I'm this is kind of new to me. Like I did the stronghold in the game, and that's where I figured it out.
Yeah, this I don't want to downplay this at all. This is really the key to doing major damage in Anthem. Before I knew about the primers and detonators, I was basically you mentioned it earlier, Alex, the bullet sponge where you're just going around and spraying everything. And, this kind of like the light bulb moment, that changes the whole play of the game. So this is huge. Like, whatever you're going to play, like most people are going to have like their main javelin that they're going to be using most often, whatever your play style is.
Yeah.
And whether or not you're going to be, if you think you're going to be playing, playing with other friends more often, or if you're going to be soloing a lot, your build, should be based directly off of these combos. So if you're going to be soloing a lot, you're definitely going to want to pick up a primer and a detonator for your abilities. If you're going to be playing with other people, as Alex already mentioned, it's huge for you guys to be able to get together and make sure your builds complement one another. So one person could have nothing but primers, and one person could have nothing but detonators, and they can play off of each other the entire time. So this is really huge, especially I'm sure it's going to play even deeper role when you get to the end game content later on. Like this is going to be like the top thing that you're going to want to grasp.
I totally agree. The difference in damage I was doing was insane. You know, like you said, like it was bullet sponges, and then I started doing these combos and I was like, oh, I'm like tearing through people. And it actually got to the point where I was hardly using my weapon at all. Like I was playing a Storm, and shout out to Kurokuma in the OK Beast community. He's a great streamer and photographer and creator. Kuro was telling me all this, and he was like, honestly, like I hardly use my weapons right now. Like I'm pretty much just using my abilities, and kind of just tearing through people, and like I'll finish up a kill with the gun, but for the most part, that's what I do. And so I started doing that with Storm, and it made the game so much more fun, and two, like my effectiveness like was multiplied by crazy. And so it really is a game changer. So make sure you're using your primers and detonators. Again, check the show notes of this, and we will link to the chart. It's called Primers and Detonators Explained. Pick that link, open it up, and go look at the chart and download it to your phone, and there you go.
Yeah, I will say too that when you're looking through your abilities, when you're choosing, they've changed the icons. If you did play alpha or the demo, they've changed the icons a few different times for primers and detonators. So make sure you acquaint yourself with whatever the icons that you're looking for primers and detonators. They are marked specifically with an icon, so make sure that you know which icon is which, you know, primer, detonator, and acquaint yourself with that and make sure you're looking for the right thing.
Perfect. Let's get into a couple little other class tips. I just want to say, like, in the spirit of the combos, make sure you're also keeping in mind the components you have attached, your ultimates. Like, I found like the Storm's ultimate, like that's who I used a lot. I used all of the classes quite a bit, but Storm was probably my favorite. Storm's was great for not only AoE, but also like if there was like high level turrets around the arena, my ultimate took him down so quickly. And so like, keep that in mind, like the Rangers old, like, and you can kind of change your abilities and stuff, but like, keep all of the stuff in mind. Like when you're configuring your character, you know, keep in mind your effects that you have, the elemental damage you have. For example, fire and poison do more damage against armor, and then like electricity and ice do more damage against shields. So just keep all of these things in mind as you're building your character out, and that way you can maximize your effectiveness for yourself and your team. And then lastly, don't forget, there is, I'm sure plenty of people already know this, but for the people who don't, there is an overheating mechanic in the game that is tied to your flight, which is, flying is kind of crucial in this game, at least for me playing it as a storm. Like, being able to stay above the enemies and out of sight kind of really helped me to stay alive longer, you know? And, but you have to remember, you have an overheating mechanic that will make you crash to the ground. And once you're overheated, you will not be able to fly for a limited amount of time. And so what also plays into that is fire damage. If somebody, if an enemy hits you with a fire grenade or a fire, you know, something with fire damage, it will overheat your systems and you won't be able to fly away. So,
and that's completely logical, but I had no idea about this until you and I talked about before the show, like that makes perfect sense. The way that the, you know, the way that you cool down going through water, and, you know, obviously fire damage sounds like it would make you heat up much quicker too. So, it's very logical, but I had no idea.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. Like I played the demo a lot. And so, there was a lot of failure and a lot of learning on my behalf. But also, if you are, you know, if you're in a fight and there's a waterfall, like Brandon said, if there's water nearby, a waterfall, go and try to position yourself near that so you get the cooled effect and you overheat way less often. So this is a couple tips for you. We will continue bringing more tips, but I felt like those were the things that I noticed, at least in the OK Beastic community, that people were kind of unaware of, and I was unaware of. So shout out to Kurokuma for some of that information. Shout out to Eurogamer for that helpful chart. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for the show this week, Brandon. I had a blast. I'm so excited for Anthem. And I'm so excited to do this podcast with you. Again, if people want to follow you this week on social media or wherever, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at RebelRed6, and that's 6 spelled out.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. You can talk to me at It's Van Aken. That's ItsVanAken. Don't forget, if you're looking for a more long-form podcast, general chat gaming stuff, go listen to the OK Beast podcast. Brandon and I are on that. I host that show alongside Brandon, Blessing, and Moises, and it's an incredible show. I think it's people tell us it's pretty hilarious. We have some weird takes as far as games go. So if you're looking for another gaming podcast, that comes out every Monday and usually lasts between 90 minutes and 2 hours. So check that out. We also have a shorter show called Jumpmaster for the new Apex Legends game. Again, we saw a lot of success with that this past week. So if you're playing that game, you can check that out. It's about 45 minutes as well as this one. But yeah, again, shout out to John Bernardo for editing this show. You can follow him at John S. Bernardo on social media. And if Ken, support us by rating this on iTunes and heading over to patreon.com/okbeast. This has been episode 1 of Freelancer's Guide, and we will see you next Friday.
See ya.